Scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts. And before we get to it, just a little background. Stephen was accused of following the teachings of Jesus and living those out to the extreme. And so he was brought before the council and he made this huge speech. And then they did not like it. So here we go. Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, they all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he said this, he died. May God add a blessing to the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Will you pray with me? Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. It is good to be here on this Father's Day, wonderful Father's Day. But I kind of want to talk about last Sunday. Last Sunday I got to church and I'd already got to church before I had heard the news of the Orlando shooting. And I felt what everyone else probably felt. I felt the sensation of loss and of sadness and of disillusionment. What's disturbing is that these were not new sensations. If you read the newspaper or see the news outlets and the media on television, these things are happening and they're awful. And so it's not new to feel this disillusionment with what's going on in the world. Senseless violence is so prevalent that it's made its way into the familiar. So what are we supposed to do? I am so sick and tired. I really am. I'm sick and tired of hearing about these things and reading about these things and then pretty much doing nothing. We hear about the atrocities in Orlando and we bow our heads in prayer and we give our condolences and then we go about our day. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of offering up prayer and thinking that I've done my part somehow. I'm tired of hearing about these kinds of things while wondering what my schedule is going to be like this week and what I'm going to do for lunch later on. So the question is, what are we supposed to do? We could mind our own business. I mean, that's an option. We could mind our own business. You know, we live in this culture that insists that people just simply mind their own business. Sometimes it's an understood rule. I can tell you when I was in Siegelville, it was more than just an understood rule. Everyone knew to mind your own business when I was there. I learned that rule the hard way. I'd been there a couple months, and we were out on the softball field, and it's a big activity. Everybody looks forward to softball season. So we're out on the softball field, and two of my teammates start arguing with each other, which is very common in the softball field. So they're arguing and they're yelling at each other, but most of the time people just leave it on the field. Well, when the game was done, we started walking back inside, and they keep yapping at each other and keep arguing, and it starts getting escalated, and it starts getting bigger and louder. And, you know, you get in really bad trouble if you get in fights in there. So they go to their locker, and I'm kind of walking near them, and they're fixing to go to blows. And so why I thought this was a good idea, I don't know. But I approached them, and I go, "Hey, it's not that big a deal. It's over with. It's not worth getting in trouble. Let's all calm down." I don't know what I thought was going to happen. I don't know if I thought they were going to look at me and go, "Golly gee, Bill, you're so right. Yeah. Thank you for being here for us." Nah, the bigger one turns to me, and I'm going to give you the G-rated version. The bigger one turns to me and goes, "Him, mind your own business." And my voice got three or four octaves higher, and I go, "Sounds pretty good." I could not get out of there fast enough. I was terrified. It was out of control. Now ask me if I ever stuck my nose where it didn't belong the rest of the time I was there. Not so much. People arguing, people discussing. I know who's right and who was wrong. I said nothing. And when I got to the halfway house, same kind of rules applied. And one of my good friends, one of my roommates there, got into it with somebody. And I know my roommate was in the right. And I said nothing. Because that was the understood rule. You mind your own business. Our context and our culture tells us that if something doesn't directly affect you, just leave it alone. It's not your business. But I do not remember mind your own business being part of the Ten Commandments or the prophetic literature in the Bible or the Gospels for that matter. So the question still remains, what are we supposed to do? I Googled the following question. In this order, I typed these words. What is the Christian response to the Orlando shooting? So lots of things popped up, and I couldn't wait to see what the response was. Let me read you the very first thing that popped up when that question for the Google search. It was from nycpastor.com. I'm going to read you the last paragraph. The shootings in Orlando ought to remind Christians that life is short, love is a command, and evangelism is an absolute priority. As Christians, our job is to stand firm on God's word and call all adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, and other sinners to repentance and to God's lavish grace. What? That's the first thing that popped up. That's okay. There's other things, though. Let me read you the second thing that popped up from Odyssey Online. It's a blog, I think. From my perspective as a Christian, I can see that God gave his judgment upon these people in the club, just like he does with any unrepentant sinner. So without a doubt, this was all in his plan. Right now, no one might be able to see the good that will come from it, but God saw fit to have this happen for some perfect purpose. Oh my God. The third thing that popped up was a video from YouTube. I'm like, all right, maybe we got something good here. So I pulled it up. But when I clicked on it, there was a page that popped up that I'd never seen in YouTube before. There was a page that said this video was removed due to YouTube's policy against hate speech. Do you know how many awful things are on YouTube that they allow? And YouTube saw fit to take this video down because of hate-filled speech. And that was in response to what is the Christian response to the Orlando shooting. I realize that there are indeed other, much more acceptable Christian responses out there. I get that. But these were the first three that popped up in the search engine. No wonder. No wonder there is such a deep distrust of the church within the LGBTQ community. I don't blame them. Now, there were many, many, many more churches that did not respond like that. You know what they said? Nothing. Being silent about an injustice is akin to complicity. I will say that again. Being silent about an injustice is akin to complicity. Stephen, in our text, was not silent when he knew something was wrong. Stephen spoke up. Stephen addressed the powers that be. For like an entire chapter in Acts, he gives this huge speech about how prophets, when they speak truth, are generally killed. And he talked about how they killed Jesus for speaking truth. And when he's pointing this out to the council, he's speaking truth to them. And the council became enraged and gnashed their teeth and stoned him to death for speaking truth to power. It is so much easier just to go with the flow. It's so much easier to let bygones be bygones and just simply go with the flow. It's easier to agree with the powers. They, of course, are more powerful than you, so it's easy to do that. It's easier just to say nothing at all, but it's not Christian. I have a very good friend that went to a candlelight vigil. It wasn't a church-sponsored candlelight vigil. It was just a candlelight vigil that the city of Portland was holding for the Orlando victims. There were many members of the LGBTQ community leading and participating in this vigil. And in talking to him, he said one of the main themes of the vigil, one of the main things of the night was compassion for the shooter. Compassion for the shooter that came in and ended 49 lives. There were reports out there, I don't know how much of it is true or not, but there were reports that were surfacing that the shooter might have been struggling with his own sexuality. And that might have prompted this awful, horrendous, ridiculous response. So the word coming out of the gathering in Portland was that these people knew a similar struggle in their own lives. So compassion for the shooter was part of this vigil. It's very similar to what Stephen did as he's being stoned to death. He said, "Forgive them. Do not hold their sin against them." Unbelievable. Kind of similar to what Jesus said. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." So sometimes when I'm here at the church, during lunchtime, I go get, you know, a chicken sandwich or a burger or something. And I come back to my desk, and as I'm eating, I want to watch a little YouTube. And so I normally pull up the Tonight Show because I never watch it when it comes on. So I pull up clips from Jimmy Fallon. I mean, he's pretty funny. So I came across a two-minute clip of him talking about the shooting. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. It's a great clip. You guys need to go see it today. But he said, and I'm going to paraphrase, he said, "Our country was founded on people having different opinions. We need to get back to supporting each other's differences. It's okay to have different opinions. It's not okay to disagree with someone and shoot them. Keep loving each other and keep respecting each other." That was from Jimmy Fallon of The Tonight Show. So there is hope-filled messages that are coming to the surface. But where is the hope coming from? It's coming from the secular world, apparently. The word from the church is condemnation or silence. At least that's the word that's getting the most attention right now. I know there are plenty of churches that are not being silent and that are speaking out and that are doing something. I get that. But the top three Google searches argue with that. And the silence argues with that. It's depressing to me and it's embarrassing to me to be a part of an organization or a movement that might be silent at such an event. The church should never be second to the secular world with respect to hope and love and grace. I mean, that's why we're here. That's the gospel message. That's the very heart of the gospel message, is love and hope and grace. So what are we supposed to do? We get off our couch and we find our voice and we battle back. We battle back with love and kindness and acceptance. That's what we do. There's this evangelical theological viewpoint out there that we are in a spiritual battle with Satan. Have you heard this? I mean, that when something bad happens, and it's not just the evangelical church, I mean, it's other churches that might have this viewpoint, that when something bad happens, they'll say, "Oh, Satan's getting closer. Satan's coming down. We've got to fight Satan at every turn. We better fight back." I mean, I got some serious problems with that understanding of spirituality, and on many different levels, I have some problems with that. But what if they have a point? What if the best way to battle hate and intolerance and judgment and violence is to be active? Active love, active kindness and grace and mercy and compassion. God forbid the gospel actually demands something from us. That's what the gospel is. It's not just a static book. It's a challenge to us all to act even more kind and even more loving when things of this awful, awful nature occur. We need to come out of the halls of religion and into the streets where people need us the most. We need to work and work and work until change happens. When we hear of these awful instances of hate, we need to be that much more vigilant against the forces of evil. The hope of the gospel, the hope of Jesus, the hope of the Holy Spirit, that has to come from us. We have to show the world that light. The secular world can offer hope as well, and I hope that they do. But if the loudest voice is not ours, something is wrong. Hope has been defined as faith in action. I mean, it seems like a daunting task to bring this to the world, and in fact it is. It's a very daunting task. But we have an ally. The same Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus at baptism. The same Holy Spirit that descended upon Stephen and he was able to see heaven opened up. That same Spirit is here with us now. And that Spirit works in powerful, awesome, and majestic ways if you let it. You have to be open and recognizing the Holy Spirit and then follow the lead and proclaim this message of hope and love in the face of anger and hate. So let's do what we are supposed to do and get it done. Praise be to God. Amen.